This episode of Enough, the Minimal Mac podcast, is brought to you by Paste. Paste makes apps that help people perfect their work. They also hate writing self-important blurbs, so instead they wanted to hear the folks at Fusion try to pronounce a promo that is pretty hard to say on a podcast. The folks at Paste have created a jump chart for wiring content into websites, Staction for staying on task together, and Paprika for tracking your text and to-dos. Check Paste out at pasteinteractive.com.
Michael.
Hello, sir.
How you been, brother?
I'm doing good, mate. How are you?
All right. How are things over there in London town?
It's calm now. There's a lot of boarded windows, but it's calm.
Well, was your area where you live or where you work? You work over in Wood Green, right?
Yeah, it was actually the first night of the riots was in the high street that I work.
Wow.
So they were some of the worst. It was one of the worst affected areas in London.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a mess. It was a bit of a mess.
I mean, what's going on? Is it soccer hooligans out of control? Jobless, disaffected youth? Is it hoodies? Should we ban hoodies?
see, this is the thing. Like, I mean, people naturally assume it to be one type. I mean, it was, for anyone that doesn't know, I mean, I would assume that probably a lot of people know some of the backstory now, but it was basically a peaceful protest that got out of control over a guy who got shot and killed by a police officer.
Yeah.
There was a peaceful protest in Tottenham where it was like family and friends, and it kind of started to get a bit rowdy, and then it just got out of control.
Mm.
And then basically it ended up being pretty much all over the country. In every major city there was like copycat crime.
Hmm.
And it just became a bit of a mess, really. But
yeah,
see, and then, you know, everyone was saying, oh, it's just urban youths, but then as people were being convicted, there were like middle class people. There was one namely criminal, I suppose is the best word to use, who was the daughter of a millionaire.
Wow.
So for her, it wasn't even about the looting. It was just literally she just wanted to do it for the kicks. And, you know, there were people that were on, like, you know, they were masked and on TV saying that they were doing it to get their tax money back. And it's all rubbish, really, to be honest. That these people are just, and, you know, a lot of people might not like what I'm going to say, but it was mainly, I think, just a bunch of opportunist idiots that were wanting to steal some trainers and some flat screen TVs.
Hmm.
Because they weren't protesting. It wasn't like a protest like we had, like we have been having all year
around the student tuition
and taxes, like tax cuts. Like, yeah. They've been attacking some of the worst offending businesses, like the Arcadia Group, who controlled Topshop. They're renowned for their tax dodging ways. So they like smash the windows in Topshop and they put up banners and stickers, and they generally cause a lot of unrest. And that probably came, I mean, I know that you guys saw it when the Prince Charles and Camilla were attacked in their vehicle on the way to a royal function.
Mm-hmm.
So they were protests. This wasn't a protest. This was just people stealing. It was just mass theft. And once the police got things, once they sort of got a handle on things, it stopped. I mean, on the third night, there were 16,000 police officers in London.
Wow. I mean, that's huge for London.
That's massive. It's ridiculous.
I mean, I know we have a lot of international listeners to Enough, but we also have our fair share of American listeners.
Mm.
So I don't think... I don't think that someone who is not intimately familiar with the UK, and especially with, I mean, the police in the UK don't carry guns, right?
No.
The
only weapon that a UK police officer carries is what's called an ASP. So an ASP is like an extendable stick, like a nightstick.
Yeah.
That's the only weapon the police officer on the street carries.
Yeah, it's like a retractable, extendable billy club. It's like metal pole that, like, you know, think of a Chinese yo-yo and it extends like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are armed response units, and it was an armed response unit that shot this guy.
Yeah. Well, and I only say that in order for people to understand that 16,000 police in London is, I mean, that's a heck of a lot of police. I mean, that's just huge. You know, I mean, you guys use cameras to control your population. You know?
Oh yeah, so this
you don't
is
need
one
that many police officers.
No, I mean the approximate population from our census says that there's about 7.7 million people that live in London.
Mm-hmm.
So to have, and that's all ages, you know, but to have 16,000 police officers in the streets, that's a very, very high proportion.
And the police officers came from, like, all over the country to come to London to try to quell us. Yeah.
And, but you're saying about CCTV, that was a real boon for the law enforcement. Because they've been publishing the images on the news of people's faces, and David Cameron, our Prime Minister, said that he was going to publish them, and he didn't care for anyone who was saying anything about human rights allegations, you know, breaches, because he said that these people have all given up their human rights.
Wow.
He's really they've been quiet.
That's well, touchy.
Yes.
I mean, I can understand on one side, but I mean, that's. I mean, you've got to understand that an American like us, although it doesn't really work as much in practice, you know, the idea that, you know, I mean, we believe very strongly that. That even criminals. Gosh, this phone, man! I gotta get rid of this phone. We believe that even criminals have basic rights, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. No, I don't. I think I'm probably paraphrased him a little bit, but effectively, what he was saying was that usually you wouldn't publish somebody's face until they were convicted of a crime, but these people. Clearly, you can see what they're doing, and it was kind of going with, in this instance, a guilty until proven innocent stance with these people. Because, I mean, there was some police forces were saying if you are on the streets tonight or any night while this is going on, we will assume that you're up to no good because an average person would not be on the streets
during the midst of this riot going on. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean. This conversation kind of contradicts what I was saying on an episode a little while ago, where I was saying that I avoid the news, and it was only because the only reason I know so much about it is because I was, as I mentioned on the last episode, I've been away on a little country holiday, so there was just a lot of the time I was just sort of fill some time in my day. The news was just on in the background. And because it was something that was close to my actual home and my workplace,
right.
It was something that I kind of got a bit swept up in.
Well, and this is the reason why I wanted to talk with you about that, about all of this, and especially in light of that episode we did, which was No News is Good News. I forget the exact number, but I'll include it in the show notes. This is one of those cases where it fits all the criteria that I want out of news. I'm hearing it from, you know, someone who to me is a trusted source. The reason that you're a trusted source is because it happened to you, right? Mm-hmm. That this was happening all around you. This was happening at the very least in the neighborhood in which you. In which you work, in which you've spent a third of your life, and directly affected you, but more importantly, it's the it's the why is this relevant? Why is it that I or any of our listeners, kind of need to know this? And that's a little bit harder question to answer. I can't answer why I feel our listeners need to know this, except that I think in a way when people tune in and listen to us and listen to the sounds of our voices, they become intimately connected with us and in a way. I mean, they don't know us personally, but I just want to say, when I know somebody in a place that's going through this sort of thing, my first thoughts are with them. And are they okay? Are their family okay? How were they affected? Because that's how it matters to me, right?
Yeah,
that's
so I had a few people, including yourself, tweeting out and asking if we were okay. And that was really nice. And that sort of, it made that link between the that sort of online relationships. People can actually care.
Oh yeah,
about someone that they never, they never see.
It's just,
we see each other through text, or you just hear the sounds of our voices.
Yeah, yeah, but that still it connects us, and therefore, when these sorts of things happen, that's the relevancy. That's what it means, right?
Mm.
Whether or not it directly affects us or not, it directly affects somebody that we know, even just passively, and that's its relevance. The sort of sensational stories which seem to populate the regular news, there's no connection there. We don't know anyone who's intimately involved with, that celebrity or those people or whatever. I suppose if it's a celebrity that you're a fan of or that you follow, that you're interested in, then, yeah, that news is interesting to you.
Mm-hmm.
Why it's more interesting than the worldwide debt crisis or the impending population crash, I have no idea. But, that's your deal, and that's what it matters to that individual. So, that's the main reason I wanted to kind of bring this up and talk with you a little bit about it, but... I mean, I don't want to, dwell on this for too much longer. There's other things we can kind of ramble about here. So how was your holiday?
It was very nice. I did stay disconnected for the majority of it.
Nice.
Which was nice. And anything that I was doing, I was kind of just, it was mainly only intake. I wasn't contributing towards anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I tweeted at all, like, publicly for that week.
Yeah, I think your absence was noted.
I responded to a few things, and like if anybody was asking me direct questions, then I might have checked in. But it wasn't through because I was being notified. I was just doing it when it was convenient for me.
Yeah,
had the email off. Sammy did the same because her phone, her actual personal phone, is also a work phone. So email off for her is a big thing.
Yeah.
It was nice. It was really nice actually, just spending time in the country. Same with you, really. The connection was so bad that it kind of made it even easier to get rid of. It hurt to come back to thousands of stories in my RSS.
Yeah, well, if you have a system, you can kind of get through that in two or three easy steps. I know.
Yeah, I know what I can get rid of, which is exactly the same as I know that you have. I have mine in a lot more folders than you do now, but
right.
I know exactly what news sources can just be mark all as read.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's... that's the key. That's the key to any of this stuff, right? The way that you deal with email overload is you have a system for dealing with the email and knowing and prioritizing and knowing what's important and what's not.
Mm.
I had a... So I have a now a regular... meeting with a fellow I've kind of come to refer to as my muse, Garrick Van Buren. He and I have these great conversations now every Monday morning that just leave me just spinning with great ideas and interesting in-depth discussion and I mean, he's one of those people. I don't know if you have one in your life where you walk away with so much from each discussion, so much to think about, so much to chew on. Every discussion is interesting, right? We don't have superficial, non-interesting discussions. We just don't have them. It's impossible for us. And it's been a real boon to a lot of the work that's going in the book. But I mean, this is one of the things that we discussed is the idea of how do I put this without giving too much away and really having people with pitchforks and torches outside of my home. But what if you had a very, very special email address that anyone who had that email address got immediate priority?
Like, do you know what? You are talking about something that I was talking to with Dave and Terrence about yesterday. Oh. Because we're trying to find new ways to share 11 minutes topics with each other. Mm. Because we have a Google Docs spreadsheet, but nobody ever updates it because it's an additional thing that we have to do.
Yeah.
So I said, why don't we just set up... Because Dave sort of said, why don't we do it by email? Which I agreed with, because me and Terrence don't get that much email. And I fear that in saying that, I've probably hurt myself, but we don't get that much email. But Dave will get hundreds, thousands of messages every day, week, whatever. Same as I'm sure you do.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going to set up special secret email addresses so that it's in a special mailbox that when we all see something in that mailbox, we know to respond to it sooner.
Yeah. Yeah. And the idea here is, maybe, and maybe it's a subtle difference, right? Maybe it's the difference between, Patrick at patrickrone.com and P at patrickrone.com, right?
Yeah.
And the folks with the P, I know that the people who have the P are people that are highly important to me to get back to and to respond to sooner than everybody else. Everyone else can wait, but the folks with the P, I want to give them priority, right? And that... Mm-hmm. And that I treat that with such special, privileges, as it were, that I could very, easily, if I go on vacation or whatever, just check the P, right? Just only, so basically on my desktop, I check the Patrick at patrickrone.com, but on my iOS devices, instead of having every email box available to me, I only have the P, and thus saying, okay, this is the important stuff, right? And now here's where the pitchforks come. What if you got a form, like, you sent an email to Patrick at patrickrone.com and you got an email back, as you do right now thanks to my good friends at Awayfind, that say, I get a lot of email. It takes me a while to respond. Please know that if you are receiving this message, I received your email, and it may take a while, but I will get to it eventually. But, and this is, this is the thing, if you want priority access for your email now and in the future, click this link, and for $20...
Cool.
You'll be added to, my special priority email list, and you'll get a special email address where you can contact me and get immediate access no matter where I am. In other words, you're going to pay for what my time and attention is worth for that kind of urgency. Otherwise, you can wait.
That is very interesting. Let me share something else with you that I was thinking of. When you mentioned about having the special email address, I thought of what will be that special email address.
Okay, go for it.
iMessages.
Uh-huh.
So because iMessages can be attached to an email. Because, for example, when iMessage, because at the moment, I know that emailing Patrick is useless. Because you know, if I email him, if I emailed him now, because, for example, I have a problem getting episode 60 live.
I'm sorry.
He might not pick that up until episode 75. So I, so I DM him. But then that also, because I know that Patrick's a man that doesn't believe in notifications, he doesn't. He'll check that when he goes to Twitter. But what he doesn't know is I'm going to demand for his iMessages address so I can text him and bother him at any time in the day. So, but that will be like for some of us, that will be a better way of contacting. Like Stephen Hackett from Fault Bomber, he is running iOS 5. So we actually converse quite a lot using iMessage now.
Oh,
instead
nice.
Of anything else, because we can talk to each other wherever we are. I mean, sometimes this does mean that one of us will get an SMS at like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Usually the person in London, yes, go ahead. Yeah,
but that's just how it works. I did wake him up quite recently. Sent him a message.
Oh, really?
Wake him up, yeah. Which was, I got him up early. The guy needed to go to work.
Well, so that's okay, because you guys on Greenwich Mean Time, you define time.
Yeah, so everyone
you know,
needs
so
to
everyone
spend
else has
around.
To just put up with whatever you think is the right time.
Yeah.
You know,
but so you
everyone
could.
Else's time is relative to yours, right?
Exactly.
Right.
So you could, Pat, because you can have multiple... Oh, here we go, breaking the NDA. You can have multiple email addresses assigned to one device. So you could have the special Patrick Rowan email, which will come as an SMS message. Because that way... You would, because I was thinking, how could you guarantee quick response? Well, you couldn't, because it's still going into your email inbox. It still shows up as another number on that red dot. So are you going to know? Unless you've got some, because there are some apps that will do push from Gmail addresses, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, well, and a Wayfind does that, right?
Of course it does, yeah.
It also, so I can certainly set up, basically... When someone uses that Wayfind form, I could set it up for that to come to me as an SMS. But even better, using the Wayfind iPhone app, I can say real quickly, if I'm waiting on an email from, say, Mike, you know, I can say, if an email comes from Mike, I want my phone to buzz, beep, or an SMS, and I want a push notification. I want my phone to go freaking bat crap crazy when Mike demands that I get an episode up on time. I mean, there are tools out there. I think what's kind of, you know, the interesting part is the pitchfork part, right? Is
the pain?
It's the I give this to my special friends. If you want to be one of my special friends, you got to pay to be one of my special friends. And
I like it.
That's the part that made people goes ooh, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people won't like that.
Yeah, exactly right.
But I mean, there are people like Kevin Rose. He started a newsletter called Foundation. It was also a podcast. But he said that you could email him via the Foundation email address, but you had to pay $5 a month or whatever. I mean, I sent him an email asking if he wanted to come on the bro show. He didn't get back to me, but whatever, let's not get into that. But it was a way that you could have a better chance interacting with a guy. So I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, because you don't have to pay for it, and it's not going to mean that you'd never respond to that person's email.
No,
they'll just get the email the same time they would have done anyway.
Right, exactly. You know, 3, 4, 5, 6 days later, who knows? You know, but 30. whoa, sorry. Yeah, there are,
I got very excited.
But yeah, I got very excited. Yes, because there have been some messages that have I've taken that long to respond to. But I think there's something to it, and I think increasingly in this world where, you know, connection is constant and ubiquitous, we're going to need, you know, the idea that it's not information overload, it's filter failure. I forget there's a, who wrote that, but there's a was it Clay Shirky? I think it was. I'll find it. But and that's the thing, right? Is that, you know, we completely have the ability and have the tools to filter this stuff right here, right now. All we need to do is use them.
Yeah.
Right? All we need to do is filter Twitter, turn it off, or just say, okay, I only want, you know, notifications for DMs or for DMs and at replies, and everything else I'm going to check on kind of my regular schedule, and that I'm only going to check for a certain period of time, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It is completely within us to filter this stuff. It is also completely within us to communicate, and I've discussed this before, and I've continued to discuss it time and time again, to communicate to people what to expect from us. That is effectively what I do with that Awayfind auto reply, is I communicate, here's the expectation. The expectation is that I will not respond to your email as quickly as you may want or need me to. And if you need a very quick response, here's this other option, and for now it's an Awayfind contact form, which, when used, will send me an SMS and let me know, oh, someone used that contact form, and I will give it my ASAP immediate priority attention. If I get that SMS from Awayfind, basically anything I'm doing stops, because I assume that it is so urgent. And I'll tell you, if someone uses that and it isn't urgent, I will spank them for it. I will verbally spank them for it.
Yeah, well, they just don't ever... I'm sure that there is either a mental or physical blacklist that person gets put on. I mean, if you didn't do that, Pat, then you're not using it properly.
Or at least think to yourself,
right, well, this person has abused my...
Oh yeah,
has abused
the system. Yep, and I will make sure it won't happen again. Yes. And I guess all that this is adding, this idea is adding to that. On top of that, is a way to, guess what? You could not have to use the form on a one-time basis, but get permanent priority access for a little bit of money.
I'm going to be interested to see where that idea goes.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, as everyone who listens and who follows me on Twitter knows, I come up with all sorts of crazy ideas.
Yeah.
And sometimes these crazy ideas just get given away. In this case, I happen to know that this particular crazy idea is being actively built as we speak. So... And that's a little teaser, but it's not being built by me. Although I did help a little bit with the copywriting. I think there's something to it, and gosh, we're getting really long here. It's 28 minutes.
Yeah.
There's never enough time, man.
If you got a lot more that you want to say, we could just knock it over to the next episode.
Oh, I suppose. I mean, I kind of. There's more. There's more.
Well, then let's knock it over.
And I don't know. I don't know if it'll be kind of another rambling episode, or actually, the more actually might fit into. So yeah, let's.
Yeah.
Let's continue this.
That's what in the business we call a teaser.
Ah, love it. Love it. So, well, I'm glad you're all right. I'm glad your people are okay. It's just...
My public are fine, thank you.
Yeah, well, I mean, by your people, I mean like your family. it's a Southern American thing. People generally... When I say your people, I guess what I'm talking about is family and friends.
Everyone's good. Everyone is good.
All right. So, well, thanks a lot, mate. Sorry, God. I try to be British. I really do.
I like it. And I
want to go back to it.
I saw somebody on Twitter, I can't remember who it was, and I'm sorry for doing this, but because I haven't got it to hand, said that they like your Britishisms. And I like them too.
I try. Because you know I long to be British. Like, you know. Like, if I can't be Spanish, I want to be British.
Well, we all do it to you all the time.
Oh, yeah.
We're taking so many of your words, you should take some back.
Well, you guys have so many great words. I love legend. I love it. I love when you guys go legend.
Yep.
It's just,
well, I consider you a legend.
This is wonderful. Oh, well, thank you. I feel the same about you, mate. So, all right. We'll wrap this up for now, and we'll talk later about all this stuff.
Yes.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.